devastated. I couldn't stand any more, and a half second before my legs gave out, he released me and urged me forward to collapse on the bed. I shifted and rolled onto my back, my head landing on his pillow. Did we snuggle as a threesome afterward? He moved to curl up beside me, and we both looked at her, sitting on the edge of the bed, unsure. She flashed a sexy half-smile. All right. Peyton didn't snuggle. She'd kick guys out of her bed if they tried. She loved sex, but feared intimacy with men. She climbed to her feet and began snatching her clothes off the floor, dropping them in a clump at our feet on the bed while she pulled her panties on. I hate to fucking run, she said, hooking the bra closed, but that's what I'm gonna do. Peyton, I started. I hope you liked it as much as I did. She stepped one foot and then the other into her jeans and shimmied them on. I did. My voice was quiet, but only from exhaustion and not embarrassment. Her top was put in place and she came to us, leaning over him to kiss me goodbye. It was quick, light, friendly, and not sexual. She straightened and cast her gaze on Logan. Happy birthday. He took a deep breath.
Thank you.
When she was gone, he turned onto his side and kissed me, one that tasted like love and not sex. It was quiet for a moment, and I began to pull at the thread of worry about what kind of impact this was going to have on, well, everything.
I can't wait to see what you get me next year.
He dragged me into his arms and squeezed me, and I put the worry away for later. We went to a movie with Logan's friends on Sunday afternoon, and Peyton tagged along. Because we were in a group, the initial awkwardness for me was easy to disguise. Logan, ever the actor, seemed unfazed. When the movie was over and the group migrated several blocks down to a restaurant, she pulled me aside. Hey, she said, what we did was amazing. I don't regret it. Do you?
No.
Good. Don't read anything into it, but that was a one-time thing for me. What you and Logan have? Her eyes glanced at him and then returned to me. It's great.
It is great.
We'd had a long talk and reached that same conclusion. We'd done it once, an experience we shared together, but I didn't want to share him again. And Logan had admitted he'd felt pressure to perform and constant fear I would change my mind and he'd hurt me. I'd been right. Nothing could come between Logan and me in the bedroom. There, we were rock solid. I didn't consider another aspect of our relationship could be a problem, but I was naive. In the Monday afternoon critique, I ended up in the front row, far from Logan. We'd fallen perfectly into the rhythm of compartmentalizing the office from personal. Here, I was Evelyn, a designer on his team in the running to be named the design department branch manager. At his place, I was Evie, his naughty girl who occasionally left her dirty dishes in the sink. One more day. John would be in the office tomorrow, and it would be announced I had landed the position I desperately wanted. Then I'd be the one leading these meetings. He'd come a long way with his criticisms, but Logan asked my advice the night before. He was grateful to be passing the torch.
There's one more thing, Logan said when the final critique was over. Hess Sports is planning another direct mail campaign. Who wants the project?
I think if we could have put our fingers on our noses to signal not it, we would have, to determine the poor soul who was saddled with this client. Hess was picky, ignored deadlines, and had no concept of how design worked. Earlier this year, one of the designers had spent weeks on a trifold brochure, proof after endless proof, only to have Hess tell us they wanted to change to a postcard, and all of the text on the double-sided brochure needed to fit on a tiny one-sided card. Oh, and not look like garbage.
Someone needs to jump on this grenade,
Logan said. People were suddenly fascinated with the tabletop in front of them. I chewed back a groan and swiveled in my seat. I'll take it. He nodded.
Thanks, Evie.
For a moment, no one moved.
Then the collective mouth of the design team fell open upon hearing my nickname, the one none of them had heard before, come out of Logan's mouth.
Evelyn,
he corrected, but it was far too late. My face heated red, despite my every effort to stop it, and each pair of eyes in the room turned to me. I turned as well, facing front and swallowing hard, feeling their gazes boring into my back. I took a deep breath and prayed it wasn't as bad as it seemed.
All right, thanks, everyone,
he mumbled, snapping shut his MacBook and fled from the room. It took Jamie 2 seconds to make it over to me.
What was that about?
Hmm? I pretended to be clueless. Debbie lingered nearby.
Logan just called you Evie, like you two are friends or something.
I shrugged and pulled myself to my feet, but Jamie stood in my way. The expression on her face widened with surprise when my denial wasn't immediate.
Oh my God, are you two?
No, I said. It came out too quickly. I heard he has a girlfriend. Not a lie, since I was so terrible at telling them.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. What department does she work in?
Jamie asked, and Debbie slid closer, giggling. I blinked.
What's that mean?
You know, how he gets around.
The confused expression on my face prompted Jamie to clarify.
He slept with half the accounting department. Chloe and PR. I think someone else, too.
That administrative assistant who was here last year, Debbie chimed in. She had that southern name.
Oh!
It was like a light bulb went off in Jamie.
Scarlet!
My stomach churned. I didn't want to hear any of this.
No, I hadn't heard.
Definitely not a lie. I did my best not to look upset when I pushed past them and went to my desk.
Shit.
That's what the text message he sent me said. I responded instantly.
Yeah, shit is right.
At 4, Logan dropped the project folder for Hess Sports on my desk, hardly uttering a word, and I didn't acknowledge his presence, but it didn't matter. The rumor mill was in full force. Jamie flitted over to my desk.
There is so something going on with you two, she said, smug.
Don't worry, your secret's safe with me.
I wouldn't have believed her no matter what, but watching her head straight for Debbie's desk, that girl had no shame. Chapter 24. He'd beaten me to his place, and when I came in, he rose up from the couch. He hadn't changed out of his suit. It looked like he'd gone straight to the fridge, grabbed a beer, and waited for me. I gave him a plain look. Smooth.
Yeah, it sure was,
he responded.
Did anyone say anything about it to you?
Jamie's convinced there's something going on between us. Anyone say anything to you? He put the bottle down and trapped my waist in his hands, tipping his head down so he could set his forehead against mine.
No, but I don't think anyone would. Is it going to be a problem?
I shrugged. Maybe, but I don't know what we can do about it.
I can't believe I did that.
It was a simple mistake. He probably expected me to slide my arms across his shoulders and press into him, but instead I remained, neither softening into him nor pushing him away.
What's going on?
His voice was concerned.
Have I done something else?
I don't know. No, wait, I did know what he'd done. Chloe? Scarlett? Half of the accounting department?
What?
Is it true? That's the list of women you've slept with at the office? He tore his gaze away, guilty. The tension in his hands faded and released me. He slammed a huge sip of his beer.
I'd say that list is inaccurate.
All of the breath left my lungs.
Inaccurate? How? Oh, God. There are more?
No. I haven't slept with half of the accounting department, only Rachel.
But Scarlett and Chloe?
He sighed.
Yes, Rachel was right after April, during my post-breakup phase.
Phase?
I lost my virginity to April, and I didn't cheat on her, so after we broke up...
He went and fucked a lot of other women, making up for lost time. I followed him into the bedroom, and his fingers worked to unbutton his dress shirt.
Scarlett asked me out,
he continued,
the day after she gave her 2 weeks' notice, and I hooked up with Chloe at Gemma's New Year's Eve party.
Gemma, the accounts manager, was John's second in command, and the most outgoing person on the face of the earth. Sweet as could be, that girl could do anything, including inviting the entire office to her New Year's Eve bash. I'd already made plans with Blake, otherwise I would have gone too. Maybe I would have ended up kissing Logan that night instead of Blake.
Are you upset I slept with a few women you happen to know, long before we got together?
No, I said, but you should have told me. He hung up his shirt, giving me a view of his hard abs and muscular arms, and it was so unfair that I was annoyed and yet turned on at the sight of him.
You're right. Okay, then, full disclosure. There's one more person at the office I've slept with.
My annoyance grew tenfold. Who?
You, naughty girl.
He undid his pants and stepped out, his eyes on me.
You forgive me, or do you want to stay like that and have angry sex?
Had he actually said he was sorry? I'm not angry, Logan. Because, as usual, he was right. It seemed stupid to be mad at him for what he'd done before.
Is that a no to the sex?
I took my shirt off and made a production of dropping it on the floor. I saw the fire begin in his eyes and the excitement when he understood the game I wanted to play.
Hang it up.
His commanding tone sent a delicious shiver through me. I yanked my black dress slacks off and held them in outstretched arms. Then I dropped them right on top of my shirt, my lips pulling back in an evil smile.
As a rule, I don't like clothes on the floor.
Too bad, I said. Besides, I thought you liked it when I broke your rules. He whirled me into his arms, rough and then tender.
Not as much as you like breaking them.
The next morning, I had a perma-smile on my face. Logan had a lunch appointment, but after that, he'd make the announcement. I dressed in the most professional outfit I had, a black tailored business suit that might have been too wintry, but I didn't care. I'd pulled my hair back to make myself look older, although it was probably a lost cause. Kathleen was going to be upset. She might even make a comment about my age, and even with my hair up, I still looked impossibly young. I was at my desk and on my second can of Diet Coke when Jamie made her gossip rounds and hovered. "Why are you all dressed up?" she asked. "I don't know. I felt like it. I hear Logan's dressed up today, too." She gave me a suspicious look. "He's not dressed up today any more than he usually is." Her eyes lit up with a gotcha. "When did you see him? Debbie said he's been in the conference room with John and Will all morning." My mind scrambled for an excuse, but it was too slow. She leaned in. "Did he stay at your place last night, or did you stay at his? I always make Steve stay at mine. His place is gross, and I'm not lugging my stuff over there, you know?" I had to keep my stupid mouth shut to prevent things from getting any worse. Thankfully, my desk phone rang, and it forced Jamie on her way. "Hey, Evelyn, this is Rachel from accounting." My breath caught. "Were you the one handling Player's account? There's a billing issue and I can't reach Logan." Now my breathing stopped altogether.
"What kind of billing issue?"
"Well, did they order an extra run or something and pay through us? I've got a line item from the printer that's been paid, but I don't have a PO for it." My hands were so sweaty I almost dropped the phone.
I know a second run was ordered. I think they paid for it. I know it wasn't us."
Thank God she couldn't see my terrible liar face.
"Oh, okay, it's been paid, so it's not really an issue. But it was strange to see a charge for $4,000 and not have any paperwork, so I thought I'd check."
"Did you say $4,000?
"Yeah, I know, weird. You want me to email you a copy so you can take a look?"
It came through into my inbox, and I stared at it in disbelief. $9,600 was what he'd told me. So why the fuck did the printer show the second run only cost $3,975? It became difficult to focus on anything other than his closed office door. The clock was a goddamn liar.
It said only 20 minutes had passed since the email appeared in my inbox, but it was a freaking lifetime before Logan finally pushed open his door and flipped the light on. I snatched up the print copy I'd made and marched to his office. We were already under the microscope, but I couldn't help it. When I shut the door, he scowled and moved to reopen it, probably thinking that this was a bad idea.
Whatever it is, it has to wait until later.
No, it really can't. I thrust the paper in his face. He scanned it and looked angry.
I don't know how many times I told that billing department not to put it on the summary. How'd you get this?
Rachel called, wanting to know if players had ordered an additional run because she didn't have a PO.
Is that what you told her?
Basically. Relief washed over his face.
Okay, then we're fine. I'll call her and confirm that's what happened.
When I continued to stare at him, he looked confused. How could he be so clueless? The amount, Logan. The relief vanished in a heartbeat.
Oh.
Oh? I repeated. Can you please explain? He wadded up the printout and tossed it in the trash, but he couldn't stall forever.
I was able to get the printer to do the job at cost.
But you... Rising anger closed my throat.
I lied to you. I thought when you heard how much money you were going to have to come up with, you'd back down. But you didn't. So I was going to let you sweat it for a couple days and then tell you the truth.
The color faded from him like a gradient, washing from pale to completely white.
But when I learned how you were planning to get the money, then I couldn't tell you the truth. I didn't want you to back down.
He didn't want me to have any other option. He'd forced me into that club and onto that table. If I had known it was less than 4,000, I probably could have scraped that money up in between my parents and Peyton. I couldn't look at his lying face another second.
Evie, stop,
he said, hushed.
Please, I should have told you and I tried, but I was so worried I was going to lose you, and then too much time went by.
Surely he was trying to get me to look at him, but I refused. It wasn't so much the initial lie that hurt, but the time he continued to let it exist that had me so upset. People in love don't keep secrets from each other.
I didn't want to hurt you.
Bullshit. You weren't protecting me. You were protecting yourself. I set my gaze on him, finally meeting his eyes. He stood a few feet from me with his hands on his hips, like he wasn't sure where else to put them. Worry streaking his face.
Yes,
he admitted.
I'm sorry.
An actual apology. My brain went to war with itself. If he hadn't lied, I wouldn't have gone to that club, and who knows if we'd have ever gotten together. The night he'd met Peyton and confessed his guilt about what he'd done showed even then he was filled with regret about the lie. I believed you didn't get to pick and choose the parts of a person you loved. You loved the good and the bad. All of it. So, he'd been bad, and he'd hurt me. And while I wasn't happy with him right now, I still loved him. You lied to me. Don't do it again. He seemed to swallow hard and nodded in agreement. As I reached for the doorknob,
wait.
His hollow voice lined my stomach with lead.
My lunch appointment. It's with April.
Everything went cold. Why are you having lunch with your ex? I bit the words out. If I hadn't caught him in that previous lie, was the plan to get away with this one too?
Her father passed away on Sunday night. It was very sudden, and she's having a hard time. She's falling apart.
His words got me to stop and focus on what he was saying. In spite of my anger, it was difficult not to feel heartache for her.
I told you that I cut her out completely.
His gorgeous brown eyes never left mine, but there was guilt behind them.
I think her father's death made her realize she needs closure. A conversation for us both to reflect on why it went wrong and to say goodbye.
I took a deep breath to remain rational. All right. You need to see her? Fine. If you'd explained that, I would have understood. But you were going to...
I went crazy when you went out with Blake, and you two were only friends. I thought you were going to say no, and I owed her, so I'd planned to tell you after.
God, Logan. I trust you completely. I mean, my voice fell to almost nothing. The stuff we did with Peyton, how can you not trust me?
I chose to ignore the pained look in his eyes.
I was going to tell you, you have to believe me.
Why should I? You've been lying to me for months.
My voice sounded as cold as I felt.
Go, have your lunch with April and give her the closure she needs. You and I can discuss this later, after I've cooled off. I fixed a hand on the doorknob and pulled air into my lungs, desperate to find a blank expression to hide the hurt and anger, and yanked the door open. I was determined not to let this crush the day. Just a few more hours. Then it would be negotiations on salary and discussion of which office would be mine, and I could sort the personal stuff out at home tonight. Lunch was left in the fridge. I was too full of churning emotion to want to eat. I broke down and purchased a third can of Diet Coke from the vending machine while Logan disappeared from his office and went to have lunch with her. My silver can of crack and work weren't enough of a distraction. My mind worried about what he was doing. There was so much history between them, I couldn't even fathom it. I tortured myself relentlessly. What if she didn't want closure, but wanted him back? I imagined her begging him for another chance, telling him she was willing to compromise for him.
Can I see you in my office, Evelyn?
His deep voice caused me to jolt in my seat. By the time I'd turned to face Logan, he was already halfway down the aisle. As soon as he shut the door, his arms encircled me. No. I pushed away from his hold, but it was futile. He blew out a breath, and I could smell the faint hint of alcohol. You had drinks at lunch?
Yeah. It was difficult, and I'm glad it's over.
His clear eyes rendered me motionless. It was over between him and her. At least I could tell that wasn't a lie.
I'm also not looking forward to the conversation about the management position,
he added. No, I can't imagine Kathleen will take it well. He left me standing by the door and paced to his desk, running a worried hand through his hair.
I'm sorry if I hurt you. I don't ever want to do that.
The expression on his face was heartbreaking, and I fought the urge to soften. I believed he didn't want to hurt me, but he'd done a piss-poor job of it. Like I said, I'm pissed, but we're at work, and we've both got things we need to do. We can talk about it later. He sank down into his seat, and worry grew on his face. Was he really that torn up about Kathleen? I sat down in the opposing chair. We both know you don't have a problem being direct, I said. But be honest with Kathleen. Do it fast, and then try to listen when she responds.
That's how you'd want it done?
Something was off. He'd fired Austin with his cold professionalism intact, or so I'd heard, and that had to be much harder than letting someone know they'd lost out on a promotion. I'm not saying you shouldn't soften the landing. Make sure you tell her she's a great designer. She'll be upset, but she's an adult and can handle it.
I hope so, Evie.
His expression changed, like he was done fighting whatever had filled him with reluctance.
I need to speak with Evelyn now.
The air around me shifted, and I should have seen it coming.
While we appreciate you expressing interest in the position, he said, we've chosen to offer it to a different candidate. You've got a great career ahead of you here, and...
No, Logan.
Think you're an excellent designer. The best I've...
I shot to my feet so fast I got dizzy. Why? God, his face. He looked like his own words were destroying him.
This morning, Will asked if we'd slept together. I could have lied and said no, but it didn't matter. He'd already made up his mind.
You wanted me for that position before we started dating. I couldn't organize my thoughts. Over time, they'll see I earned it, and you didn't hand it to me because I was your girlfriend.
It's too damaging to both of our careers. You're young. You'll have plenty more opportunities to advance.
It was all slipping away. My dream job vanishing before my eyes. Taken from me because of the simple mistake of uttering my name. His mistake.
Don't do this.
He took an enormous breath as if steeling himself.
It's already done. Kathleen accepted the position 20 minutes ago.
I stumbled backward, away from his eyes that frantically searched mine. With all of his lies this morning, the roller coaster of emotions, and now this, it was too much. I couldn't take any more, and it broke me.
Take a minute,
he urged.
Don't go out there like that.
Like what? I hissed.
Looking like I just broke your heart.
A cruel, bitter laugh bubbled up from inside. What difference does it make what they think of me now? The door banged against the doorstop when I yanked it open. Jamie's head popped up over the cubicle wall to spy me heading back to my desk. I leaned over the keyboard and began shutting down my system. I couldn't stay here. An emotional meltdown was imminent, and I wasn't interested in trying to cry quietly in a bathroom stall for the next 30 minutes. I certainly didn't want to be here when the announcement was made about Kathleen's promotion. This was quickly becoming the worst day ever, and I just wanted it over already. I put my phone in my purse, tossed my soda can in the recycling bin, and cursed the Mac to hurry up.
Where are you going?
He asked softly, lingering just to the side of my cube. I don't feel well, Logan. I'm going home. Maybe it was unprofessional, but I didn't give a rat's ass just then. After everything that had happened, I did feel sick to my stomach, so it wasn't a lie.
You're not feeling well, how?
The tension in my body was building to a level I couldn't manage. The words came out too loud and angry for the surrounding designers to ignore. Why do you care? I knew he could feel the eyes on us as much as I could from his sudden, hurried breath. His eyes set.
I care because I'm in love with you, Evie.
He said it as loudly as I had, straight up declaring it for the whole office to hear. Debbie gasped. But that and a phone ringing somewhere off in HR were the only sounds in the aftermath. Perhaps he'd thought this would make me feel better, but no. I couldn't feel anything but crushing disappointment in him and my situation. I put my purse on my shoulder and straightened to leave. My name, I said through clenched teeth, is Evelyn.
Chapter 25.
I went home, curled up on the bed that now seemed so tiny, and unleashed my emotions with my face pressed into the mattress. Afterward, I sat up, filled my lungs with air, and blew it out, feeling empty. I'd started the day happy and in love, only hours away from landing my dream job. Now it was early afternoon, and I wasn't at work. I was here, and alone. I'd called Peyton on the train ride and filled her in on the details, arranged to go to her place for dinner, and then turned my phone off. I didn't want to talk to him right now. The joke was on me, though. I changed into a tank top and yoga pants that absolutely did not flatter my large thighs, and I started to clean. In the few months since we'd gotten together, I'd learned to enjoy the empty countertops and clean floors. I polished the sink, and when that was done, I moved on to wiping down the insides of cabinets. After that, I took a wet rag and started to scrub the corners of the floor, where the baseboards looked like they'd never been cleaned. A sharp knock on my front door snapped reality back on me. Holy shit, what time was it? I knew who it would be, so I didn't rush to get to my feet or hurry to the door.
Jesus, would you please turn your phone back on?
Logan's face was streaked with concern as he came in.
I've been so worried about you.
He was still in his suit, and I glanced at the clock on the microwave. It's not even 5.
Yeah, I left right after the meeting.
The one where he had made the announcement, no doubt. It's Tuesday. What about your cross training? He gave me a look like I was being ridiculous.
Fuck that. We need to talk.
I went back to sitting on the carpet, crossing my legs beneath me and scrubbing the rag over the dingy, ivory-colored trim. Go ahead, boss. Talk. He went into a whole long apology, but honestly, I didn't need to hear it. He knew he'd screwed up. I heard him take off his jacket and set it down somewhere, probably folded neatly.
At least there were plenty of clean surfaces for him to do so now.
Say something,
he asked, hushed.
Tell me you're okay.
I'm okay. My voice was flat, emotionless.
Please look at me. Tell me we're okay.
I turned to see him standing with his tie loosened and his sleeves pushed up, devastatingly handsome. My body wanted him regardless of what my mind told it, but thankfully my mind was stronger. I'm not going to tell you we're okay. I'm not going to lie to you. His approach was too rapid to react to, and hands scooped under my arms, lifting me to my feet.
Then tell me what I can do.
I love you, but I'm not happy. You have to let me be unhappy about this. I lost that promotion because of what you said. Logan loved compliments, but he didn't like anyone to point out his faults.
It was a simple mistake. We both know you've made one before.
I could only imagine the shocked look that splashed on my face, and I shoved his hands off. I didn't need a reminder of my disaster with the legal disclaimer, and not today of all days.
Fuck. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry.
He tried to pull me into his arms, but I would have none of it. I backed up a few steps, and then the wall was flat against my back, and it left me nowhere to go. His hands trapped me there beneath his intense gaze.
I'm so sorry. I love you. Please tell me how I can help.
His mouth lowered to mine, but I shifted away. His lips were the most persuasive when they weren't talking. My head tilted back and thudded against the wall while he mouthed aggressive kisses down my neck. Logan, no. My eyes fell closed. I was still too upset, too conflicted. You can't fix it that way. It was like I'd just punched him. He was that stunned.
I wasn't trying to. I love you, and I can't help it,
he said, his eyes pleading.
I can't stand that I did this to you, that I hurt you.
Once those three words passed his lips in the office, he didn't have any trouble saying them. Part of me worried this was manipulative. I need space, I said. You have to let me work through this on my own.
Space,
he repeated with horror.
How much space?
I don't know. A few days. His chest lifted in a breath. He didn't want space, but I wasn't going to back down on this either. The struggle in his eyes as he faced his first ever compromise for me was fierce. But it was blinked away, and the hesitant words from him were whisper quiet.
All right. I can do that.
He brushed a hand over the back of my head, pressing my forehead to his lips in a chaste kiss, lingering.
Are you sure?
I nodded, but said nothing as he left, his shoulders sagging. Logan had only had one girlfriend in his life before me, and he'd been the one to walk away, which meant he'd never had it end on someone else's terms. Not that it ended between us. At least I didn't think. I had intended to maintain radio silence for one day, but one night became two, after I watched Kathleen gloat around the office. No one spoke to me. I was literally sleeping with the enemy as far as they were concerned. After his declaration of love, he retreated into his cold, professional version, like someone had deactivated the other part of him. On Thursday night, he asked hesitantly if we could get dinner. But I still needed more space. I couldn't get past the failure. For once, Peyton and Blake saw eye to eye, and they both told me I needed to forgive Logan and stop blaming him for a decision I probably would have made if the roles were reversed. I wanted to forgive him. I missed him. But as more time went by, it became harder and harder to find a way back to what we had. When I rounded the corner into my cube on Friday morning, he was there, leaning against my desk. That same steel-colored button-down and gunmetal-gray tie he'd worn the day we'd gone into his office. And later that night, he'd become my boyfriend. Outwardly, no one would notice the drastic difference in him. But not me. He hadn't shaved. The faint lines around his eyes and the way his shoulders hung told me something was wrong. The train was late, I said. If it hadn't been, I might actually have been on time this morning.
Can we talk in my office?
He asked it softly, and it filled me with unease. He didn't move until I nodded. I sat down and heard the dull thud of his door shutting behind me.
Evie, I promised I wasn't going to keep things from you, so there's something you should know.
He came to stand in front of me and leaned back against the desk, his face serious.
I'm giving Will my notice today.
What the hell was he talking about? You're leaving? He'd been in talks with another company and hadn't told me? I jumped right into anger. Where are you going? He sighed.
I haven't figured that out yet.
What?
If I'm gone, Kathleen will step into my role, and you'll get the position you deserve.
I launched to my feet and came eye to eye with him. Don't be ridiculous. You're not going to quit. You're like me. Your job is everything to you. Mocha-colored eyes blinked slowly.
No, it's not. I can find another job, but I can't find another you.
This was impossible. Here he was, willing to fall on his sword for me and give me exactly what I wanted. But how could I let him do that? How would he not resent me if I allowed this? No, I said. Just wait a minute.
I can't do another day of this. I tried not to fall in love with you, but you made that impossible. I can't rein this back in, and I don't want to.
He was only inches from my face, gazing at me, and he hadn't moved. I'd been the one to close the distance between us. Logan had lost control over his carefully maintained self because of me. We'll figure it out, I said. We're both too determined not to, so don't go quitting in the meantime. I just need a few more days to accept what happened.
You don't have to. Let me make it right.
Wait, I said, frantic. Logan, just wait. And I think my panicked voice echoed that night when I'd been strapped to the table and unable to follow him. His hand slipped behind my neck, cradling my head into his kiss that was exactly like our first, magnified 1,000%. Slow, seductive, filled with so much love and intensity, I was powerless to stop my surrender.
I'd wait forever for you,
he uttered, and returned to his task of shutting my brain down with a simple touch of his lips. My hands came to rest on his jaw, gritting against the stubble there when I eased it back. I held his face in my hands, his eyes on mine. And in this moment, I knew we would be all right. He was willing to give everything up for me, and I knew I'd give everything up for him if I had to. Give me the weekend, I said. Don't do anything until Monday. Disappointment ringed his eyes.
The weekend? You're not coming Sunday?
Because Sunday was the marathon. I don't know. I lied and hoped it was convincing, since a plan was rapidly taking shape in my mind. He'd caught me completely off balance when he'd taken off my blindfold, and a little part of me hungered to do the same to him. He let me slip from his hold, confirming again he wouldn't do anything foolish before we spoke again on Monday. I hurried to my cube, ignoring the dirty looks. They could go fuck themselves. I didn't need that supervisor position. This company had already given me more than enough. It gave me him. I ducked out of the building at lunch to call Nick, thankful I had the number saved in my phone from the time he'd texted me their progress on a run. His voice was so much like Logan's, it was unnerving. I was hoping you could help me, I said.
I'm still married, so if this is another shower request, my answer is no.
You're hilarious. I was glad he couldn't see me blush. I wanted to surprise Logan. I just realized he might not know that Logan and I were taking space. Have you talked to him recently?
Yeah, I had to call him on Wednesday to tell him about the awesome stress fracture in my foot.
In your foot? What about your race?
I guess I'll have to try to beat Logan next year.
Months of training. Gone. God, that's awful. He made a noise, sort of an, oh well.
It happens. What did you want to talk about? Logan said he'd screwed something up at the office and you weren't too thrilled with him right now.
I've gotten over it, I announced to myself. But Logan doesn't know that yet, and I was kind of hoping to show him on Sunday. If you're not running, are you still planning on going?
Oh yeah, Hillary had made up some signs for me, and I thought I could use them on Logan. Some of them will be epic.
Do you mind if I still tag along?
Of course not.
Great, thanks. Can we keep it on the down low? His half laugh was similar to Logan's.
I'll try my best.
I dressed in skinny jeans, a gray long-sleeved shirt, and knee-high boots, looping a scarf around my neck. It was warm for October in Chicago, but not all that warm. Sunny with a slight breeze and perfect marathon weather. Hillary said Nick had bitched about missing out the whole time as they walked with Logan to the starting corral. I'd met them just past mile 4 with coffees I'd grabbed for them at a Starbucks.
How is he? I asked.
He's fine,
Nick said.
He was disappointed you weren't with us.
Hillary smiled. He's just nervous. I couldn't meet Logan as he made his way to the starting gate. I wanted that moment when he was running along and spotted me in the crowd cheering for him. I hadn't been allowed to ask questions when he'd taken off the blindfold, and now he wouldn't be able to either, not when he was trying to break his personal record. The streets were thick with people, but Nick knew where the best spots were for spectators, and his phone chimed with an automated text when Logan's bib crossed the start, so we had a rough idea of when to expect him.
If he's keeping pace, we've only got another minute,
Nick said. He looked through the signs Hillary had in her enormous purse and selected one.
Really?
She asked. The sign read, I'm so proud of you, Snuggles.
Snuggles?
A grin widened on my face. Nick shrugged it off.
I like to hold my woman close. What's the big deal?
We moved deeper into the crowd of people, edging our way up to the road. Runners flew past, and I watched in disbelief. They were going fast, much faster than I could ever run. They'd just done 4 miles and another 22 to go. Insane.
What's he wearing? I asked.
White shirt, black shorts, and hat.
A whole herd of runners went by, with women who looked like there wasn't an ounce of fat on their bodies. The crowd was thick. Did we miss him?
There he is.
Nick pointed out in the distance to the wave of runners barreling toward us. He extended the sign out toward his brother.
Logan, you got this, man.
Logan looked relaxed and focused. His eyes glanced at the sign in Nick's hands, and a faint smile curled on his face. I was vaguely aware Hillary was clapping and saying something like, Go, Logan. I thought I was clapping. Thought was difficult when our eyes met. He didn't slow down, nor did his eyes widen in surprise. An enormous grin burst on his face, and he was so handsome I thought my heart exploded. How could I ever stay away from him? Then he went past, his feet slapping the pavement in quick bursts, carrying him down the road alongside dozens of other runners. We had to hurry to the next stop and almost missed him.
He's ahead of his pace,
Nick said with a scowl. Isn't that a good thing?
He doesn't want to peak too soon and then not have enough to finish strong.
Nick told him as much at the stop, and Logan nodded, his warm eyes locked on mine. He was sweaty and gorgeous, and I wanted to yell at him to take his shirt off. It was frantic going from stop to stop because Logan was moving so fast and the crowd was dense no matter where we went. He dialed it back too much at the third stop and had fallen behind the pace he wanted to maintain, which made Nick pull out the "You're so sexy when you're sweaty" sign. I gave Hillary a smile, letting her know I thoroughly agreed.
Mile 25's going to be slammed, Nick said. You two go ahead and get a spot, and I'll text you when I see him at 21.
The finish line was close to spectators, so this was the closest we could get to see him finishing. We watched as a guy, younger than Logan, pulled off to the side and was eventually helped away by EMTs. How was Logan faring? This wasn't his first marathon, but still. He'd looked less relaxed last time we'd seen him, but Nick was also shouting out that he'd fallen off pace. I was nervous for him, and once Hillary got the text, my nerves kicked up.
It won't be long now. He's going to do these last miles quick, she said. I hope Nick can make it in time, but he fucking better not run.
Is it killing him not to be out there?
No, he's okay. I think he's getting a kick out of helping Logan.
20 minutes later, Nick pushed his way through the people and found us.
He's fading, but I think he'll do it.
Logan wanted to finish under 4 hours. He told me his last marathon he'd finished in 4 hours and 2 minutes, so close to hitting a sub-4-hour race. Every time Nick glanced down to check his phone, I glanced with him. 3 hours and 41 minutes. Time kept ticking by, and no Logan. The playful banter between the newlyweds ceased, and I thought we were all chanting in our heads for Logan to be the next racer to turn the corner.
"Yeah, man!"
Nick suddenly cried.
"Holy shit, he's gonna get it!"
Logan's shirt was pasted to his body in sweat, or possibly water he'd tossed on himself, and there was a focused expression I'd never seen before, utterly competitive and driven. It turned my insides into liquid, flooding me with desire. He swung his arms, one hand clutching a black pouch of energy gel, and seeing us gave him the final burst I think he needed. Every second brought him closer and closer and closer to me. And then he was gone, streaming toward the finish. We hurried toward the runner reunion area in Grant Park, and a few minutes later Nick's phone buzzed with notification of Logan's unofficial time. He'd done it. His younger brother was all smiles.
"We'll have to go through gear check, but it shouldn't be much longer."
We waited outside the tall green fence as runners meandered out the exit, finisher medals and shiny Mylar blankets draped over their fatigued bodies, but smiles on their faces. Then he appeared through the line of runners.
"Hell yeah,"
Nick said.
3 hours, 57 minutes, 42 seconds.
It's like Logan wasn't even listening. His focused look was on me.
"Hi,"
he said loudly over the fans around us as he approached. "Hi, boss," I yelled back. "I'm so proud of—"
"I have to tell you something."
It was hard to hear, and I worked through the crowd, Hillary and Nick following me. "What is it?" I was concerned when I reached him. He looked weird, exhausted from the race, but also nervous. Nick passed a black pouch of energy gel to him and took the gear back from Logan's hands. To my side, Hillary had her phone out. Was she taking pictures?
"I don't want to keep anything from you,"
he said.
"So you should know I bought an engagement ring."
I couldn't hear the people around us anymore. "What? When?"
"That day you had lunch with Blake."
Right after he'd heard me confess, I thought he could be the one. Oh, my God. I wasn't sure how to respond to this stunning information. And that black pouch wasn't energy gel. It wasn't plastic, but fabric. My body tingled with anticipation and nerves.
"I have rules."
His fingers disappeared into the pouch.
"Just one, actually. You have to answer my questions honestly."
It was a platinum band with a large emerald-cut diamond surrounded by smaller diamonds, and the moment it came out, he sank to one knee. I pressed my fingers to my lips, my gaze going from his to the ring he held up, and then back to him. My body froze into a statue. There was a red observation tower nearby that elevated the race spotters a few feet above the crowd, and when Logan knelt down, the spotter went on high alert.
"Runner down," he yelled into a megaphone. "Runner down."
Logan's gaze went to the man in the tower and turned to his brother.
"Is he talking about me?"
Nick yelled to the spotter that Logan was fine, that he was proposing. It wouldn't sink in, even after hearing that. Logan Stone was down on one knee, proposing to me. His focus returned to mine when it was clear the spotter got what was happening.
"Do you love me?"
he asked. I nodded, my eyes wet with tears. "Yes."
"Do you know how much I love you?"
"Yes." He was breathing rapidly, but I had no idea if it was from what he was saying or the 26 miles he'd just run.
"Do you want to spend the rest of your life with me?"
My idiot brain tried to come back online, and I shot an accusatory look at his brother. Nick had been carrying that ring all morning and had passed it to Logan without a word. "You told him I was coming."
"Yeah,"
Nick said, sheepish.
"I was worried it would mess with his head too much if you weren't there and then showed up." "You're breaking my rule, Evie,"
Logan said. My overwhelmed mind struggled to figure out if he'd meant it playfully or seriously. Emotional tears blurred my vision.
Will you marry me?
He'd been with April 12 years and never done this. In less than 3 months with me, he was sure. And I was sure, too. I wouldn't fail at loving him. Wasn't even possible. Yes, I said. It was barely a word, but it registered all the same. He took my shaky hand and slipped the band onto my finger, where it felt like it belonged. Strangers around us cheered and congratulated us. All I wanted was to be in his arms, and it looked like he had the same desire. Then Logan made the mistake of trying to stand, and his face filled with alarm.
I'm not sure I can move.
Nick hooked a hand under an arm and hauled Logan's stiff body upright, ignoring the groan of discomfort this action caused his older brother. I ignored it too. I threw my arms around Logan's neck, his sweat-soaked shirt beneath my hands. I loved it. I loved everything about him. His mouth was hot and tasted like cherries from his energy gels, and he answered my urgent kiss by matching my intensity. A hand snaked behind my back to hold me against him, pressing me into his damp body and heaving chest. Did that really just happen? I said in between his breathy kisses.
I asked Hillary to get it on video because there are some people who are going to need visual proof. Like Mom,
Nick chimed in. I stared at the ring on my left hand, which was still trembling when lips found mine and stole my focus. Holy shit, my fiancé knew how to kiss.
Okay,
Nick interrupted.
Congrats and all, but can you maybe hydrate? So I don't have to carry you when your muscles cramp up.
I don't think Logan wanted to. When I tried to release him so he could head to the table with water bottles, his arm remained locked around me. Are you okay? I whispered. He grinned.
Oh, yeah.
He was sweaty and gorgeous and happy. And he was mine. Chapter 26. The Saturday after Thanksgiving, my phone rang at 5:45 in the morning, bathing our bedroom in pale blue light. My hand fumbled and yanked it off the charger, and my bleary eyes looked at the screen. It was a number I didn't recognize. Hello? Hey, it's Peyton. Who's dead? I whispered into the phone, terrified. She knew better than to call this early. I am. Peyton's voice was frantic. Sorry I woke you. I sat up, concern flooding my body. What's wrong? I need to talk to you. I'm kind of freaking out, and I'm coming over. Okay, but what's happened? Are you all right? She paused, which only made my worry grow. I'm okay. Well, no, not really. I'm gonna grab some coffee and then I'm headed your way. Logan was out cold, deep in a NyQuil coma. My fiancé had been fighting a cold for at least 2 days, refusing to admit defeat until last night. As we were getting ready to go out for drinks with our friends, he'd curled up under the covers, shivering. We ended up canceling, and I spent the night in bed, reading his iPad while he snored and coughed beside me. He looked better this morning. Also, he looked like he might sleep another 4 hours, which was good. Whatever was going on with Peyton sounded serious. The entire time I was in the shower, I was worrying about her, and then a knot formed in my stomach. Oh, God, was she pregnant? She was careful in her personal life, and it was required at the club, but accidents did happen. My shower was brief. I'd learned pretty soon after moving in with Logan that showering in the big glass enclosure by myself was a great way to end up cold. No wonder he always had the water so hot. I pulled my bin of cosmetics and hair stuff out from beneath the sink and dug out a ponytail holder, wrapped my wet hair back into a bun, and stored the bin away. I'd only moved in a week ago and was determined to keep my sloppiness to a minimum. I padded out into the kitchen and sat at the breakfast bar, staring out at the gorgeous view I'd never get used to. I'd never get used to him, either, and didn't want to. I couldn't get enough of him. Ironically, I saw less of Logan at the office, but now that the cat was out of the bag and I was reporting to Kathleen, things improved everywhere else. Logan and I got ready in the mornings together, commuted together. We ate lunch out in the open when his schedule allowed it, and at the end of the day, we came home together. Jamie was instantly my new best friend when she saw me sporting the rock on my hand. Custom designed by Logan, of course. I think she wanted to swing an invite to the wedding, or possibly help me plan it. She'd been dropping some not-so-subtle hints, like talking about how she'd planned her sister's wedding. Even when Kathleen promoted me to senior designer over her, Jamie took it in stride. At 6:15, there was a sharp single knock on the door, jarring me from my thoughts. Peyton came in like a blur, dropping a tray of coffee cups on the counter. Was all that coffee for her? Or had she been so freaked out she'd forgotten I didn't drink the stuff? When I pull an all-nighter, I look like death warmed over. But of course, not her. Her hair looked perfectly messy and tousled, and her makeup smudged to give her sexy, smoky eyes like a magazine ad. I could tell she hadn't slept, though. "Are you pregnant?" That was the greeting I gave her. "What? No." She yanked her coffee out of the tray with too much force and sent coffee slinging everywhere. She was vibrating with nervous, chaotic energy, and witnessing her like that was scary. "What's wrong?"
"I got let go from the club."
Her face was white.
"I mean, I got fired."
I froze with the paper towel in my hand, ready to clean up the coffee.
"What?"
Her face fell into her hands.
"What am I going to do?"
"Again, what? What happened?"
"This is all his fault, you know. He shouldn't have said a damn thing."
She paced a circle in the living room.
"Fuck, it was so much money."
"Could you be more cryptic? Who are we talking about?" She pulled to a stop and glared at me like I should know.
"We're talking about the guy who got me fired, the one who fucked up my life."
"Your life?" I said, dubious. "You like what you do there, but come on, that place is not your life." Did she think that was rich coming from me, given what I'd done to keep my job?
No, I'm not talking about the club."
She set her coffee down that had been nothing more than a prop to occupy her busy hands.
"Look at me. I'm a fucking mess. He owes me at least an apology. He should have warned me."
"Jesus, Peyton, who?" Her gaze hardened.
"Logan."
"What? Logan got you fired? How?"
"Because of what he did last night."
She was making absolutely no sense. "Last night? He was sick, and he was here with me."
"Yeah," she snapped. "I'm aware."
She resumed her random pacing without explaining. It was like she was coming apart, and I couldn't do a thing to stop it. Worse, I couldn't help her without understanding what had happened, and she wasn't making sense. So I stormed into the bedroom and latched a hand on Logan's bare shoulder.
"Hey,"
I said softly, nudging him awake.
"Hey,"
he mumbled back. "So, Peyton's in the living room." Logan rolled slowly onto his back, blinking his sleepy eyes at me, still not really awake. "She got fired from the club last night." His eyes went clear and he launched upright, fully awake.
"Peyton was working at the club?"
"Apparently. And she thinks you're the reason she got fired. Why's that?"
"She must have gone in,"
he said on a whisper,
"when we canceled last night."
It was like he was thinking out loud. His phone rang on the nightstand, the screen flashing an impossibly long number, and Logan's alarm grew when he glanced at it. I could barely hear him over the ringtone.
"Oh shit, Evie,"
he said.
"I think I did something I shouldn't have."
This has been Three Simple Rules, The Blindfold Club, Book 1, written by Nikki Sloan, narrated by Muffy Newtown at Brickshop Audio, Inc. Copyright 2015 by Nikki Sloan. Production copyright 2017 by Nikki Sloan.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.